look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios, which don't, well, I mean, it costs, you know, costs $40,000 to $50,000 a day. Well, I mean, for a week, I should say. Like, for example, the DNC, RNC. But we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live each weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be. A lot of great shows on the Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast on BTR. That's Blog Talk Radio for those people in Hattiesburg. And you can watch us live and by archive right here on our special, super secret, super cool YouTube channel. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com, and it's right there for you. All the navigational stuff is on the right-hand side. You can choose your, pick your venue, and, of course, select your venue, and you're off and running. Don't forget, we've got two separate websites, HagmanandHagman.com and HagmanReport.com. We're going to be really quick with the intros. Joe, welcome. How you doing? Great to have you. Thanks.
Doing great. Okay, good. Yeah. All there right. You go.
Don't want to hold up our guest, who is actually our guest is for this segment of the program is Josh Tully. Okay, Josh Tully has scaled the fence, scaled the 8-foot wall at the Democratic National Convention, fought off the effeminate DNC security forces, and managed to struggle his way behind enemy lines into the DNC. Reporting from the DNC. I'm kidding about that, folks. I really am. Josh Tully's a great friend of the program. JoshTully.com, TOLLEY.com. You can reach him off of our HagmanandHagman.com. It's linked right off of HagmanandHagman.com. But what a great friend. What a great radio personality he is. Journalist and all around great guy. Josh Tully, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report, reporting live from Philadelphia, the DNC. What is going
hey,
on?
Hey, guys. Great to be here. Great to be here. What a difference from the RNC a week ago.
Yeah, it sounds like it. When we were talking off air, I thought I heard some automatic or semi-automatic gunfire. I thought I heard some screams. I'm
that's
not
just,
sure. Maybe
that's just Philly on a normal day. That's just Philly.
Right.
So you're saying the DNT is more professional?
No. It's not. It's really not. And as funny as it is, this is just a joke. I mean, this conference overall has just been crazy. First, it's not nearly as well organized as the RNC, even though they had 3 more weeks to organize it. Since the Cavaliers were in the NBA Finals, the Republicans had less time to get set up. This one is just a mess. Snafu, for military vernacular. And it goes beyond just the organizational skills of the DNC as well. There was nothing patriotic in this. I did our first file report from the floor of the DNC, and there were 0 flags, none. And now I see that they have brought in a few more flags because people were complaining. But it felt like something out of a Stalin movie or a Mao movie. It was gray, cold, with little highlights of blue. And everybody's attitude was very, well, liberal progressive, I guess is what you could say. And that's before any of the news broke with Debbie Wasserman Schultz or the Bernie stuff. That was just, as soon as you come into town and you see the event, you already know that it's messy. They didn't know where to park us. They changed the parking venue as they were parking the media, and you're like a mile and a half away from the venue. It's just, they did a terrible job.
Well, hey, yeah, I mean, look, the progressives are in charge of our government. They, you know, yeah, never mind. Well, okay. So I got to ask you, was the stage vibrating when Debbie Wasserman Schultz or Nancy Pelosi got booed off? Or, I mean, I don't even know.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is where this gets really nuts, and I have said for a long time I do not really support the two-party system, nor did our founding fathers. But there is such a stark contrast. The arrogance of the progressives. Here you have Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who gets busted, red-handed busted, with this 20,000 email thing. And what is it with Democrats and emails, for goodness sakes? But she gets busted with this email thing, making fun of Bernie Sanders as a Jew, even though she is one too, making racial slurs and then blaming them on Trump, making up stories and then claiming as they came from the Trump side, bribes. There's even now an investigation into money laundering. There's like a ton of bad mamma jamma stuff in these emails, and this lady has the audacity and the arrogance to just brush it off, which means if you're a Democrat voter, you are a complete fool at this point to vote for any Democrat on a national level. Now, if it's your local mayor or whatever, good for you, go for it. But on a national level, the Democrat Party essentially said, our voters are stupid idiots. They won't get or even care the fact that we're ripping them off, cheating them, straight up lying to them. We'll do the whole, well, our party is better than the option, and they'll be stupid enough to fall in line. So at this point, folks, I'm telling you, if you elect a Democrat to a national office, you owe the rest of us an apology, and you might want to just check your maturity in the mirror, because they're lying to you. And I totally get it. You're going to say, well, Josh, the other party does it too, but that's no excuse to then go forward and do it. That'd be like saying, well, yeah, Al Capone's a murderer, so I'm going to join John Dillinger because Al Capone's a murderer too. And it doesn't fly. So the audacity from that woman is just beyond me. Then you have the Nancy Pelosi getting booed off stage thing. This I actually find as quite encouraging, to be honest with you, because this is a lady who funneled cash to family members. She was also, if we remember back far enough, part of the whole insider trading fiasco inside the House, where the House exempted themselves. They're the only people on the planet who are exempted from SEC insider trading rules. Even when they did the reforms, they still didn't negate themselves. They only got rid of the staffer clause. So here you have this lady who finally gets booed off stage, and I'm glad. I'm hoping what's happening is enough Democrats are saying, wow, this is just bat crap crazy, man. We got to get out of here. And whether it's starting a new party or dissolving the current leadership in theirs, something has to happen. But then, to make it worse, within hours of Debbie Wasserman Schultz having this career-ending humiliation, she has the guts to walk across stage while the cameras are rolling, smiling and laughing like nothing happened. And then Hillary's website post a story about how they're hiring her because, you know, she does such a great job. This is basically two criminals now getting together, and people are still thinking to vote for this?
Wait a second. What do you mean? Wait a minute. Hiring who?
There was a story that was on Hillary's website. Now, I don't know if they've pulled it because they've kind of made light of it now, but there was a story within hours of the email thing blowing up that Hillary had hired Debbie Wasserman Schultz to be her campaign chair.
Okay, I gotcha. All right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So here you have two women who totally get in trouble because of what they've done with emails, teaming up together to run a campaign.
And what could possibly go wrong?
And then they get on stage. Exactly. And then they get on stage and they tell all of us that they care about the working class. They care about, you know, single parent families. It's a lie. They are lying to you.
Man. Wow.
And then, of course, you have the Sanders thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's hear about
fire away on that, because doggone it, I'm so doggone depressed that Bernie Sanders is not the candidate. You know, I really want a friggin' socialist in the White House and running the country. And yeah, I said that word. Okay.
You know, it's scary. I would actually rather have Sanders than Hillary.
What?
I know he's a socialist.
Man, I don't know. But anyway, okay, so, I don't get it. Go ahead.
Internal fighting there at the Hagman Studios, maybe.
Yeah, what the heck are you saying? Sorry.
But here's the craziness of that. To a certain extent, a lot of America was that way. A lot of people are saying, you know what? Let's just go full social. And it kind of reminds you of that scene in Tropical Thunder. You never go full socialist. Like, that's just, you're not supposed to go full socialist, but that's exactly what Americans were wanting. So here you have this situation where Bernie Sanders was totally robbed, completely robbed of this system. Even though I can't stand the man, even though I think he's evil on a stick, when you watch that process play out of how he would win states, and then, oh, well, no, the delegates are going to go to Hillary. And then he would win another state. Well, it doesn't really matter. The superdelegates are going to Hillary. It didn't matter. And that's another example, folks, of why I don't understand how people can vote Democrat right now. And that is not an endorsement of Trump. I'm just saying, we're covering the DNC, so let's talk DNC. You literally have a party that runs around the streets this week chanting, "This is what democracy looks like." Yet they have no democracy in their own party. They literally said, yeah, all those votes, they don't matter. We're just going to give this thing to Hillary. So Hillary's supporters, Bernie Sanders supporters, rather, they were there already when we got to town on Saturday, already holding mini rallies and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, feel the burn and Bernie or bust and all that. Well, Bernie Sanders has come out and said, I'm endorsing Hillary again. They might have him introduce her on Thursday when she accepts the nomination, just because people are so livid. But that ties into yet another factor of this DNC event. They are shielding the media from the auditorium. What we saw at the RNC is we had complete access. They had seats for the media reserved for us in the stands. We could easily go onto the floor at any time, even when Donald Trump himself was out there. I was out on the floor. So it was complete access. They wanted people to see what they were doing and how they were doing it. Well, not only myself, but if your followers are consuming alternative media, you've heard all these other stories where they're not letting media into rule committee meetings. They're not even allowing media really access to the event. And what was alarming to me is the Secret Service, because all the media has to check in with the Secret Service once you get to town. The Secret Service officers even told us, because we saw the same guys a week ago in Cleveland, they told us, he goes, you're not going to like this, but the DNC has decided not to really give media access to the floor. So at no point in time can we actually sit in the auditorium and actually watch the speeches. And even if you're watching the broadcast news, they have limited camera shots that make the event look much bigger than it actually is, the venue rather, much bigger than it actually is, and they limited the number of cameras. Where at the RNC, you probably had 30 to 40 network cameras. Here you have less than a dozen and they're all sharing on feeds. Because they don't want you to see what's really happening. And what's really happening is everybody is livid that Hillary Clinton's about to become the nominee. There are chants, lock her up, that the networks are being ordered to scrub, don't allow that audio on. I just got word that they are going to place essentially actors in the roll call tonight, especially with states like California. where on TV you're going to see happy-go-lucky, yay, they're all happy. But what's happening is those are actors sitting in the California section. The camera's going to focus on them, so you at home don't see the rest of California delegates livid at chanting, lock her up. Because even as wacky tobacky as a lot of progressives happen to be, there's still a line where they say, hey, wait a second, the FBI has admitted this lady has committed over 100 felonies, they just don't want to prosecute her. So even I, as a wacky tobacky kind of progressive, can vote for this woman. But they are trying to hide that as much as possible. And you saw that last night with the Sarah Silverman, Al Franken bit. When they were out there, you just kind of heard rumbling noises in the background, and what was really happening is the networks were putting in place a filter to muffle out that background noise, but they were chanting lock her up. They were chanting, you know, Bernie or bust. And I agree, I would not want Bernie Sanders in the White House, not at all. But to see what is happening, and then to have, you know, Democrat friends and neighbors and relatives, I have no clue how you could even lie to yourself anymore and think that this is the party of the working man, the party of labor unions, the party of minorities, because women. It is absolutely not.
Wow. Josh, from your perspective, the sheriff from Milwaukee, Sheriff David Clark, said that the DNC seems to be about embracing criminality.
There it is. Well, yeah,
does that sound accurate?
Just what Josh said, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about the overall message, it's been trust Hillary, trust Hillary, trust Hillary. And even this idea of, you know, Michelle Obama's wonderful speech that the media just couldn't fawn over enough, right? Even the idea of her speech was all about, I trust Hillary, you should too. I trust Hillary, you should too. And that's going to be the continuing message, because nobody trusts Hillary. Not even the Democrats. Even among Democrats, she's polling at like 67% untrustworthy rating. So yes, it's absolutely about how do we embrace criminality. And what's sad, sick, and twisted is if she pulls off this vote, whether they steal it or she legitimately gets it or whatever, that's exactly what happened. America has embraced criminality. But going beyond even that, you have to kind of wonder, what are we really watching here? What are we watching? We are watching a public takeover of America. Because even Bernie Sanders said, we have never had a more progressive platform than the one we came up with this week. Well, if you look at that platform, they're getting rid of religious exemptions for abortion. They're getting rid of all these sort of key factors that even progressives 30 years ago would have thought you were nuts to do. So right. You have to realize that come hell or high water, if Hillary Clinton or even Bernie Sanders gets this and they end up winning, America is going to fundamentally change. And what we're looking at is either a nationalist growing government under Trump or a globalist growing government under Hillary. Both of them are going to grow the government. That's just reality.
Josh, you said something there that I take this. Do you think there's a possibility? I mean, there's no possibility Sanders could take the nomination, is there? I mean,
well, here's the thing. Well, we're going to find out tonight.
But all right.
Technically, right now, yes, there is. At this very moment, at 7:23 Eastern Time, yes, it is possible. Because those superdelegates aren't necessarily bound, they're just pledged. And he has a plethora of delegates that he actually earned if they allow him to keep them. Now, if I were Bernie Sanders, which I don't know why he turned his back on his people, but if I was Bernie Sanders, I would also be calling for a medical records release from the Clintons. Because there have been more than one rumor, more than two, more than five rumors, that the reason Hillary Clinton has been coughing a lot, the reason why she's been shaking a lot, the reason why she's put on a lot of weight lately, nothing wrong with that, I'm a little overweight too, I'm just as a medical symptom, and there are a lot of people saying, wait a second, they suspect that she has MS.
Oh, wow.
Well, that alone would be a massive story and a, and to an extent, a disqualifier. Because even though MS played a background role in the West Wing series with, you know, President Jeb Bartlett and, you know, it's, it makes great TV drama, this is literally the person that would get that 3 o'clock phone call. And is this going to be an issue? Not only that, there's also rumors and whispers as to why Bill Clinton looks like he's so ill lately. You know, his eyes are sunken, his bones are showing. So if I were Bernie Sanders, and I'm totally saying that this is rumor, but it's not just coming from one place. If I was Bernie Sanders, I would have said yesterday, hey, I want to see medical records. Because it not only is, should she be in jail, but there's also enough to be, okay, a little suspicious of the medical records. But let me tell you something that I found really interesting. We were at Independence Hall, and there were officers outside Independence Hall, and we were talking to them. They believe she should be locked up. They believe that their own justice system has perverted it for the benefit of this woman who should be in prison. So they would love to see her arrested. They would love to see her in prison, going as far as saying they would love to see Director Comey arrested too, for whatever on the take sort of offer or deal that was made to get him to roll over like that. And that to me signifies something much larger. That signifies to me that this country is going through a wake-up call. And I know for years, people like you, people like me, and other shows out there have been trying to get people to wake up. But a wake-up never happens in a planned way. It always happens in a, oh, wow, didn't know it was going to happen that way sort of way. And if this is that wake-up call, then praise God that it's finally coming. Because even if Donald Trump wins the presidency, I am not a fan of what he wants to do. He wants to grow the government too. But at least the people are going to be awake now. And I think what would happen is if even Donald won, in 4 to 8 years after that, you would see what I would hope to be a peaceful revolution in this country. Because we're running out of room to continue to pile on more laws. We're running out of room to pile on more regulation. I mean, it's so insane how many laws and regulations and policies that are in place. Something has to give. And it's almost ironic that the birthplace of America is where the DNC is having this event, which is essentially signifying the death of America. So life and death of America are happening in Philadelphia.
Josh, one question about the Hillary Clinton medical speculation. What would be the purpose of her to run for president only to have to step down or recuse herself due to the medical situation, if there is one? That'd be question one. And two, is her VP pick, Mr. Kane, play any part into this medical role, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think Kane plays any role in anything, to be honest. I think he's there to get the Latino vote because he speaks Spanish, and he's there because he's not going to overshadow Hillary. Hillary is all about Hillary. She has been since 1975 when she got fired for ethical problems with the Nixon trial. She has always been about herself. So this is the ultimate power trip. This is, she is going to be coronated as queen in her mind. Now, MS is something you can live with for a long time. There's drugs that now on the market that can repress it fairly well, and I'm sure she would make the argument that, hey, if this is true, hey, it doesn't matter. You know, I can get treatment throughout the process. Because other presidents, I mean, look at the speculation that Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's before he left office. They launched an investigation into that to see if it was true. FDR, another example of somebody who wasn't physically working well. Look at John F. Kennedy. After his assassination, it came out all the medical problems he was dealing with. So it's not that you can't, but it certainly does affect the image in people's minds. If people thought she wasn't capable right now, and I'm just going to play Hillary advocate for a second, heaven forbid, but think about it. She's fighting an uphill battle with all of her legal scandals. She's fighting an uphill battle with all of her Benghazi scandals and Clinton Foundation scandals and the trail of dead bodies behind her. For goodness sakes, I had that Secret Service agent on the show a couple weeks ago, and I asked him, I said, look, you know, another witness against Hillary has been found dead in a mysterious way. Do you think that the Clintons are capable of murder? And he said, well, I'm not going to answer that directly because it's just too dangerous. But what I will tell you is when I was guarding the then-elect or then-president-elect Clinton in Arkansas, I had one of his staff at the time tell me, you are going to hear some strange, weird things about this couple. You are going to hear things that will turn your stomach. And I'm telling you, believe them all. So, Josh, I guess that's what I would tell your audience. So that's basically this guy saying, yeah, I think they're totally capable of that. So you have all these things stacked up on Hillary. The last thing she would need would be to have this possible, and I'm totally claiming that it's at this point just rumor, but the last thing she would want and need would to be a medical thing on top of everything else she's dealing with to show competency for the office. I don't think she's competent anyway, but from a campaign standpoint, that would be disaster.
Man, I'll tell you what a great analysis. I mean, you packed so much information in there in so little time. Okay. Man, you know, so we have Billy Bob coming in up tonight, right?
Isn't that
the deal? Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, and the reason his eyes are sunken in, my non-medical opinion is he's dehydrated. You can read between the lines on that. Yeah. What's the reception like? Or going to be like for him?
Well, I think he's going to get a rousing ovation because Bill Clinton is like Moses to the Democrats. He kind of brought them into the promised land. We had Carter, who was a laughing disgrace. Then we went into Reagan, who the conservatives hated. We went into George Bush, which was an extension of the Reagan administration. So you had an entire generation without a Democrat hero. Here comes Bill Clinton. It was the dawning of the age of information. The internet was brand new, and he came in almost as a progressive Moses. And as much as that just irritates people, if you're a Democrat or a progressive, it's absolutely true. So I think he'll get this rousing ovation, and as long as he doesn't stick his foot in his mouth again, I think it's going to go fine. And then you're going to have Obama come out, and he's, for some reason, still popular amongst Democrats, even though he destroyed the economy, destroyed income and jobs for people 30 and under. But he's popular too, and they're both going to say the same thing. We have both been presidents of the United States. We both have answered that 3 o'clock phone call, and I can tell you there's nobody that we, two former presidents, trust more than Hillary Clinton.
That statement I just got a shudder up my spine when you said that. Yeah. Okay. Well, that speaks to the health and nature of our country at the moment. Anything that really surprised you that aside from what you already discussed, but anything that really surprised you that you've seen, heard, or you know, even for the vast knowledge that you have, anything that really sticks out and you're thinking, man, I didn't see that coming with respect to the DNC?
I guess just the mindset of everybody there. Like, I've obviously run into progressive mindset before. I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, you know, home of hippies and all that sort of stuff. But just this refusal to budge off of this idea that the government should be God. You know, and I know we're running out of time, but standing there in Independence Hall, and you guys are from Pennsylvania, I'm sure you've been to Philadelphia.
Been there.
But when you're standing there in Independence Hall, and that guy's telling you, this is the most important room in American history. This is where they basically said, freedom or death. They became outlaws in this room. And then you contrast that with a party that is basically, what can the government do for me? what sort of education programs, food programs, medical programs, water programs, safety programs. Like, the progressive mindset is, we need to make government bigger so our life can become better. Which is the exact 180 degree opposite of what those men in that room did. They said, hey, we need to eliminate government as much as possible, put it down to a one piece of paper thing, and that's it. Because life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is so much more important than what government can give us. And Benjamin Franklin said it great, and I'm going to paraphrase, but essentially, when the people figure out that they can vote for their own gain, the republic is lost. And that's what has happened. This town is full of people who figured out, hey, wait a second, we can vote for our own gain, and because of that, they are selling out the foundation of this country. The Constitution to them is almost something you hold your nose and turn away from because it's archaic, it's dead, it's outdated. Whereas for people like you and I, even though we don't think it's some sort of extension of deity at all, it's just, you know, an idea of man, it's an idea that at least went in the direction of freedom. People say all the time, you know, Josh, you don't really want to go back there, do you? Where we had slavery and women can't vote? And I said, actually, that's not where we were. We were at a place that had slavery, and we ended it because we pursued freedom. Where women couldn't vote, and we ended it because we pursued freedom. It was the constant pursuit of freedom through that path that allowed us to become more free and more free and more free. And then somewhere around 1913, well, actually around the reunification after the Civil War, but after that point, everything from that point forward has been less free, less free, and less free. So would I rather go back to a 1700s where at least we're working our way out of slavery, we're working our way out of oppression, as opposed to working our way into it? Yes. Yes. Because even the citizens at that point had something to fight for. These people are essentially saying, what can I vote for?
Man.
Anyway, you said, I know you guys got to run.
No, you, thank you so much for your gift of time. And I know, look, folks, this is kind of a hardship on Josh Tully. Okay, so really extend them a great deal of thanks, as we do, for really breaking free and giving us an update from the Democratic National Convention. Josh, I want to thank you so much, brother. Man.
Oh, thank you, guys.
You're fantastic. What a wealth of information. All right. You stay safe out there. And anything happens, we got the bail money for you. All right.
As funny as that sounds, I might need it. So I'll keep you on speed dial. Have a great night, guys. The rest God of the Hagman audience, I love you guys, too. Have a great night. God bless.
All right.
Thanks, Josh.
Folks, that was Josh Tully from joshtully.com.
Josh Tully Show?
Yeah, the Josh Tully Show. And his book, you know, if you haven't gotten his book yet, what a great book. Surviving, through the times.
What's the title?
Don't do that to me, man.
Evangelpreneur.
Thank you.
Evangelpreneur is...
I've got this impediment where I can't, it'll come out with, you'll laugh at me. But anyway. I love him. I do. I mean, we got to meet him in person, and he was such a fantastic man, a great heart, knowledgeable, and it's just amazing to listen to him during the day. Folks, I want to welcome you to our program tonight. That was the first 35 minutes of our program was dedicated to an update from the DNC. Can you imagine? Now think about what he said. The entire California delegation being replaced by actors, right? Okay. Is anything that we're seeing real? No, it's all programming. And that brings me to something I want to just mention, a couple of things I want to mention quickly. If you go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Dutifully do so. All right. First thing you're going to see is boom, boom. Pastor Paul Begley in the coming apocalypse. Get your tickets now. Tomorrow, folks. Tomorrow. Or not tomorrow. Thursday. We're going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana. Or somewhere.
Noblesville, Indiana.
Which is
right outside of Indianapolis.
And we're going to be taping two shows, 9 and 11. On television at the WHMB I think I got that right. Studios. Just click on the link there, and it'll take you to. You got to register. You got to register.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it doesn't cost anything. I might pick your pocket when we're there. When you're there. Okay. No, it doesn't cost you anything. It's gonna be fun. Come meet us, and if you're around Indianapolis, or you know, even if you're within a couple hours drive, come on, man. We'd like to see you. We'll have a great time.
I mean, there all morning.
Yeah, we'll be here all week. Yeah, no, we'll be there all morning, and with Pastor Paul Begley, and it's gonna be a riot, man. I can't wait to just meet Pastor Begley and talk with him, and we might wrestle.
And for those thinking about coming, there is a meet and greet in between the tapings.
Yes,
so that we are doing two tapings there. I'd imagine would be two meet and greets.
Well, I don't know. We'll just hang out outside and, you know, with a tin can.
But it's such a nice gesture for Pastor Paul to invite us on the show.
What was he thinking?
I don't know. But it's going to be nice because, as you said, we get to meet Pastor Paul Begley in person.
Yeah.
Along with his wife, Heidi.
Yeah.
They're going to be treating us to dinner tomorrow.
Actually, and look, I had already told him. I said we need... I had sent him an email of our requirements. The green room has to have room temperature bottled water only. It has to have fresh fruit, no bananas, just cranberries or red raspberries, no black raspberries, and strawberries. And then
Red Bull?
No. Purple sticks. And no one is to wear purple or look us directly in the eyes, okay? And anyway... No, you know, he's just having fun, and seriously, it's really going to be great to be there. So, in all seriousness, if you're around Indianapolis, Indiana, we've got some. There's actually some information that we're going to be providing that we have not provided to any audience. We're going to break on Pastor Paul Bigley's show. If you can make it, do that, and it involves our source from DHS, and we've got some updates to give, and I can't even say that, but I can't even say what I was about to say, so just do that.
And folks, if you want more information, go to
HagmanReport.com
BegleyProphecy.com, and then they'll
can't miss it.
From there, you can not only get the information about the registration and the times and the address, but you can also get the information as to when it airs. It airs not only in the local market, but it's sent out to a few cities after that. I know Orlando's one. I think San Francisco's another one. But then it airs on DirecTV, Dish Network.
Beirut as well.
Really?
Yeah, actually.
But it airs on the Time Warner Cable Ohio, Dish Network Beirut, and DirecTV on Friday evening. So,
all right.
And I believe it airs Friday evening.
Wednesday and Friday?
It airs, first off, in the local markets. I think live or very close to live in Indianapolis and San Francisco.
So if we screw up, there's no taking it back, right? So I can't, like, you know.
But, yeah, the information's on PaulBegleyProphecy.com on the channels that it does air on nationwide and the times. And if I remember correctly, it's Friday at 10 p.m., 9 or 10 p.m.
Oh, boy.
It airs. So
I don't know.
We're looking forward to it. So yeah. Tomorrow and Thursday, we are going to have some things lined up for you, but especially Thursday. Folks, if you're relatively new listeners to the show in the last year or two, you're going to want to listen to Thursday's show.
You're going to want to listen to Wednesday.
We're going to have a throwback Thursday.
Throwback Thursday.
And it's a great episode. I want to thank Eric for doing the work and putting it together. And even picking it out, you're going to be surprised. I think you're going to be surprised. But while we have time left in this hour,
hold on a minute. I got to direct people. Also, one more thing. Sorry, I mean, and I'll give it to you.
All right.
I want to direct people to HagmanReport.com, and if you don't mind, I just want to get into this very quickly. All right, because to me, this is pretty important. There's an article up there, Why Trump's Platform of Pessimism is Loathed by the Left and Why It Matters. All right, this is an article written by Doug Hagman. I guess that's me. I wrote this article, seriously. It appears on CanadaFreePress.com. I would urge everyone as well to leave a comment. You might read the article and say, you know, okay, or give your input to the article. The reason I say that is because it does elevate the stats and visibility on the search engines when you do that. As crazy as it sounds, because what's happening here is we are under fire. Conservatives are under fire. The conservative message is being tamped down by these search engines, by algorithms that are taking articles like this and flushing them down the toilet. But the issue here, and I just want to touch base or touch on this, folks. If you and I made 2 days in a row, I believe now, I mentioned this phrase, the nattering nabobs of negativism. Okay, which was a Spiro T. Agnew utterance back on September 11th, 1970. Interesting date, right? At the California Republican Convention. Now, don't forget, people are saying, well, Spiro Agnew, who the hell's that? Yeah. Seriously, you have to be old enough to remember. You have to be getting, AARP invitations, apparently. Or, you got to look back in history, because there's really nothing new under the sun. You've heard after the convention, RNC, Donald Trump had been accused of peddling pessimism and saying, you know, things are horrible. And what I was looking at after that speech, I began to do a lot of research, and I found that really the progressives, socialists, and the media.
Obama, Trump's doom and gloom doesn't match reality. While there was a breaking news feed on top, several dead in shooting at Munich. And since then, there's been another terror attack in Germany, as well as in Norway, a 84 or 86-year-old priest was decapitated by ISIS.
Normandy, I believe, but yeah.
Normandy, okay.
Okay,
and we got that story here, yeah. so we're going to get into that.
But see, the idea that fear is this electoral gold of the GOP, this is what is being stated by many political pundits and by the government on both sides of the political spectrum. I want folks, this is so important, and I really didn't fit it as well in the articles as I should have, but this is so important because we are always accused of peddling fear, and Donald Trump is being accused of that very same thing. And if you look back in history, in 1970, William Safire was the speechwriter for Nixon at the Nixon White House. William Safire, who's passed away, as well as Agnew and Nixon, of course. What they did was that they came up with this phrase, nattering nabobs of negativism. And they used this to criticize.
Yeah. Now think of this. If we were sports reporters, say we were reporters of, I don't know, the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team.
All right.
And say that they, or the Cleveland Indians, or the Atlanta Braves this year, as I had checked the stats, Eric, I saw the records. Atlanta's doing horrible this year.
Right.
So, you know, say they lose 7 games in a row, and each day throughout the week we report on their losses. Would we be considered, you know, sport reporters of negativity because they lose and we report on the losses?
Well,
that's a similar type of analogy. When there is bad news and when there are things going on in the world and they are being reported on as such, truthfully,
right,
you're turned around and accused of being a fearmonger for reporting the truth. There is a mental disconnect somewhere that is being created or has been created, because in the real world, in the world of common sense, nobody in their right mind would be able to get away with saying that or accusing somebody of that for just reporting the facts. Now, if they were making up, you know, news and just constantly had predictions of terribleness and you know, basically reporting, you know, from a depressed mindset all the time,
right,
I can see that. But if you're only reporting the facts of truth with a pure heart, how can you be accused, and how could people even listen to that and think that the person doing the accusing has any merit whatsoever or common sense?
Precisely. Folks, it is as bad as we are saying, okay? It's just being covered up by these, by the media.
It's worse, well, yes, than what we say.
Perhaps. But see, the roles have been switched because it was the media. And I think I make a good point in the article. And folks, again, please visit HagmanReport.com. I'm really not pimping my article, as some would say. I want people to really understand the importance of the information. And we don't have time to get into it tonight, but understanding what is taking place, understanding the methodology behind and the motivation behind the individuals making these comments with respect to the economy and everything taking place, it's important. But what I found was a survey that, now this was not made public, not publicized, back in November. It was published November 17th of last year. It's in the article. But they surveyed, they polled 2,695 people across every state in the District of Columbia. 1,193 males and 1,502 females, equal number almost of Democrats and Republicans, or Democrats and Independents, fewer Republicans in a small segment of the Tea Party. In various, the demographics on this, I looked at the demographics and it was evenly spread out across the board, all right? Their conclusion was 70% of the American public, 70, said, hey, wait a minute, things are not going well and they're not good. All right, so in order for the media now to call us fear porn, doom porn, fear sellers, and those people out there, the bloggers, okay, these people who are have their heads so far, the rectal cranial inversion epidemic that is sweeping this country is unbelievable. We need massive amounts of surgeons out there. I don't know whether you have a proctologist or a neurologist or both on standby, but again, the rectal cranial inversion that's out there among the population, and the vast majority at the DNC, of course, they need surgical intervention. But having said all of that, yes, it is as bad as you might want to think, but we still have the ability to come out of this and to fight, because we've got to fight and we've got to choose our sides. And I don't care what people say or think. You know, you got to get off your butt. We all have to get off our butts and to fight back. And this leads me into, okay, so I'm going to just wrap it up by saying this. Please, you can read the article at HagmanReport.com or CanadaFreePress.com, but I would urge everyone to comment on it at CanadaFreePress.com. Even if I don't like it, go ahead and say, I don't like this. You know, it's just tripe or whatever. But again, maybe if you do that, maybe you don't want to do that, because then it'll elevate the visibility of the article. But regardless, I feel very strongly about this. And I think historically, it's well-sourced and historically it's correct. But what we're seeing is just a flipping of the people, Joe, that were responsible for our exposing criminality in D.C., that took down Spiro T. Agnew, that took down Richard Nixon, that took down a lot of the criminals on both sides of the aisle, especially the right side. They've swapped sides for a seat at the globalist table. They've sold their souls for a seat at the globalist table. And they're covering up the fact, like you just talking, and you can go ahead and get into this. When you have in France, France, you've got a man who is pledged his allegiance once again to ISIS. And we're going to be getting into this hopefully on the Paul Begley show. You've got to understand, ISIS is the quintessential antithesis to Western values. It serves as a globalist dialectic, okay? And understand this. And understand that we're living in 2 Thessalonians time. Look, I'm not a preacher. I don't know. But when I read that there's going to be a strong delusion in the minds of men in the end times, I know from an investigative standpoint, again, I'm not a preacher. I don't know this, but I know from an investigative standpoint that people are suffering from a strong delusion. And when I look at the ISIS, when I look at, and this is a new term perhaps, the Imam Mahdi.
Did you say 2 Thessalonians, or do you mean 2 Timothy?
No, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 and 2:11.
Okay.
All right.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And what they're talking about is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together of the saints unto him. They say, let no man deceive you by any means, that that day will not come, except there come a falling away first, or an apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, which I thought is what you were, or I'm sorry, chapter 3, which is what I thought you were talking about, it gives description of the last days that says, know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, traitorous, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but refusing or denying the power thereof. And it goes on from there. And we are seeing these things play out in this day and age. There is a blindness in the church. There is a falling away, not only from faith, but from just human morals.
Okay, well, I want you to get into the ISIS attack against this priest, because this, folks, this is coming to America. But right now, very quickly, understand, ISIS has a magazine called Dabiq, D-A-B-I-Q. Okay, Dabiq.
After don't they have Dabiq, another Syria.
Or no, that's Al Qaeda, and that's the Inspire magazine. Yeah. But ISIS magazine called Dabiq, and Dabiq is a point of battle according to the Islamic Hadith, which is the equivalent of Armageddon. They are planning to overtake Dabiq in Syria. Now, in fact, they issued they made a video, ISIS video, "See You in Dabiq." Dabiq army rolling into Rome, destroying Christianity and enslaving women. There's two areas that we have to keep our eyes on: Dabiq, Syria, and Rome. That ISIS right now is coming after Catholicism, and coming after specifically Catholicism, but yeah, Christianity. And hold on, and I'm going to give it to you. A gentleman by the name of Dr. Timothy Furnish, he's got a PhD, is in Islamic, he's an expert in Islamic eschatology. He had come out and given a lot of information. Folks, the United States, we set up ISIS. We financed ISIS under the Obama, Clinton, Jarrett machinery, and how dare these criminals, deny this, because more than two-thirds of the U.S. Humvees supplied by the United States, supplied to Iraq by the United States, were taken when ISIS took Mosul in 2014, and Obama and Clinton and Jarrett were directly responsible for that and for the criminal altering of the intelligence about that incident. And folks, we should be so angry, righteously angry about this, because this has led to the slaughter of that priest and many others, the children, the women, all across the world, and it's coming to the United States unchecked by this criminal rogue government and the CIA and these mealy-mouthed milquetoasts like Comey and every person, that every one of the 535 sitting in Washington, D.C. And you should be damn upset about this. Joe, go ahead.
Absolutely. Now, there's two parts to this story about the priest that had his throat slit. An 84-year-old priest had his throat slit while he kneeled at the altar on camera after ISIS invaded Mass. Now, here's a few things you need to know about this French attack, and then I want to talk about another angle here. Two knifemen entered a church in Normandy around 9:45 a.m. local time by a back door during Mass. Nuns and worshippers were taken hostage. One was seriously injured. Father Jacques Hamel died after reportedly having his throat slit. Suspects were shot dead by French police. ISIS claims responsibility for the attack, saying it was carried out by two soldiers.
You know, I'm so sick of this. Reportedly has... Come on. And he had his throat slit.
Now,
he had his throat slit.
But there's more.
Remember
we talked about the ISIS hit list in the Western world?
Yes.
The people and organizations,
yes,
who were on it? Well, this Catholic Church was on the ISIS hit list. Catholic Church where priest was murdered was among several targets found on suspected jihadi arrest last year, where a list was discovered on suspected ISIS terrorist Sid Ahmed, who was arrested last April amid fears he was planning more attacks in Paris. Now, this was... this is one of many organizations and people whose names are on an ISIS kill list as the list continues to grow. And yes, as you said, the Catholic Church is on the list. You are going
Rome
to see
is a target. Yep, and by the way, so are the
target.
And I'm going to tell you right now, Jones is a target. Rick Wiles is a target. Quayle's a target. Langford's a target. We're targets. We're on the list because we made the forums. When you're password protected, you get into the forums, you can see. Yeah, but you know what? And no one is stopping this.
Meanwhile, BBC is debating whether the term radical Islamist should be used when describing these attacks.
No, it shouldn't be used. It's Islamic. There's no radical Islam. It's Islam.
Oh, great. Folks, we'll be right back with Pastor Paul Begley after this. Stay with us.
Is that a stroke, folks?
This is the Global Star Radio Network.